Now, there's going to be a barrage of answers to this, no doubt. I wonder if you can tell me, what are some of the things that make you happy or which you enjoy? Go, yeah. Football, okay, yeah. Does it make you particularly happy if Wales have a glorious victory in the now, I have to tell you, this was completely unplanned. Yeah. So football, that's one thing. What other things give you enjoyment? Yeah. Art? Yeah, okay. Any particular kind of art particularly? Sorry? 3D art. Yes, okay. Yes, Tommy. Does Mummy know what it is, I wonder? Food, yes. What sorts of food? Chocolate? Cake? Delicious barbecues, maybe? Yeah, Abby Roo? Sausages, yes, absolutely. It's hard to beat a good sausage, isn't it? Particularly if it's just sort of slightly cremated at the edges. Yes, other things that give you enjoyment or happiness? Yes, good. Family, yes, absolutely, yes. Ideally, sometimes, so family, absolutely, we're extremely thankful for those. Any others? Friends, yes, absolutely. Okay, last two then. Yep, go on. Bacon sandwiches, okay, lots and lots of food, got that. Have you read? Swimming, okay, yeah. There are all sorts of things in life which give us happiness and enjoyment, lots of good things to give God thanks for. Next one, please, Jonathan. And we're going to think today about three things that Christian believers can rejoice in and give God thanks for. Now, as will hopefully become clear, this rejoicing or joy is not exactly the same as being happy necessarily. It might not always mean that we go around with a great big smile on our faces. In fact, as we'll see, sometimes we might be both rejoicing in these things and also crying with sadness because life is hard sometimes. So here are three things that the Christian believer can and should rejoice in. Next one, please. Now, it all depends on this. Some repeated words which you can see in your passage in verse 1 and verse 9. It's useful when reading the Bible to look out for repeated words because that can be a clue to the meaning and what's going on in the passage. And Paul says here, since we have been justified. Now, the grown-ups have been working on this for the last couple of weeks. So I wonder, grown-ups, can you tell me, what does it mean to be justified? Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? Come on, some of you know, don't be shy. Jesus stood in our place. Just as if I'd never sinned. Ken Barlow, Bishop Ken, top of the class. No, there it is, okay. Just as if I'd never sinned. Can you see what was done there? So if you take the word justified, you can sort of make it into just as if I'd never sinned. As Jeremy was saying, to be justified is to be declared righteous. Next one, please, Jonathan. It's a legal term, kind of term might be used in a courtroom. It means to be acquitted or found not guilty. That is to be let off, not sent to prison for the crime, or in this case, for the sins that we've committed and the wrong things that we've done. And Paul says that everything he's going to say depends on the fact that we've been justified. If we trust in Jesus, it's just as if we've never sinned. Next one, please. So Paul explains a bit in this passage about how we're justified. And again, the grown-ups have thought about this a lot over the last couple of weeks. Next one. It is through faith. That is, by trusting in Jesus, by depending on him, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous thing if we stop to think about it, isn't it? Peace with God. We've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now, again, growing up, people tell me what grace means. Again, we've thought about this quite a lot over the last couple of weeks. Jonathan Austin. Unmerited favour, yes, okay. That's quite hard, big words, isn't it? What? Okay, we've got a song for this. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve, he lets us off. And grace is when God gives us the good things we don't deserve, absolutely. So great is God's love and kindness and generosity to us, his undeserved love. We sometimes say grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It is, you might say, a gift, a present, and it's by Christ's blood, through Jesus' death in our place, he took the penalty that we deserve so that we might be forgiven. That's how we're put right with God, is what the grown-ups have been looking for at over the last 2 weeks. And we're going to think today, next one, about three consequences of this. Three things Christian believers should rejoice in because we've been put right with God. So, next one. Again, we've got some repeated words in this passage. We rejoice in comes three times. So that gives us the heading for our talk. First of all, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, hope is all to do with something that's coming in the future. Who had breakfast today? You have breakfast? Not everybody. It's important to have a good breakfast, okay? But you wouldn't... I know I'm a bit of a hypocrite there, let me, okay, I'm sorry, but I've had two biscuits so far, and a coffee. So, now, you wouldn't say, I'm hoping for a really good breakfast now, because breakfast is gone, wouldn't you? Hope is about the future. We should say, oh, I'm hoping for a delicious barbecue and sunshine. Hope is about the future. But Christian hope is a bit different from some other kinds of hope. I mean, barbecue might not be great. It might rain. We don't know. But the Bible tells us that if we're Christian believers, we have a sure and certain hope. A hope we can be confident in and really depend on. Hope of the glory of God. God's greatness and splendour. And sometimes in the Bible, glory is the way of speaking about heaven. We hope, we're confident of sharing in the glory of God in heaven because we've been put right with God. Next one, please. And Paul gives us three reasons why we can be confident of this. Because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, because Jesus died for sinners. So let's just read in that little section again. Paul says this in verse 6. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, who can tell me what some big commemoration has been going on this weekend? There's been a particular event that took place 100 years ago that we've been remembering. Battle of the Somme, okay. Great big battle. I think probably the most British soldiers who died in a single day ever at the Battle of the Somme. So a terrible, terrible battle. Lots of people there gave their lives for their country, for their families and their friends. But Paul says that the Lord Jesus did something even more amazing. He didn't die for his friends, he died for his enemies. It would have been like a British soldier there dying for a German soldier. That wasn't what you did, that wasn't the point. Really, the job of the English soldiers there was to kill the German soldiers. But Paul is saying Jesus did something amazing. Something the opposite of that. Jesus died for his enemies. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And then in those next verses 9 to 11, Paul says we can be really confident of this because Jesus has dealt with God's wrath, his holy anger against sin. He's made us friends with God. And Paul says, well, if he's done that, how much more will he welcome us into his heaven? Just think about it for a minute. What is harder or easier to do? Is it to make up with your worst enemy? Or is it to invite your best friend round to tea? Well, it's quite hard to make up with your enemies, isn't it? But easy to invite your best friend round to tea. So Paul is saying, well, God has done the hard thing. He's dealt with our opposition. We're no longer enemies. We're friends with God. And so we can be sure that God will invite us into his heaven. Verse 10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him and became his friends through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Next slide. We rejoice in sufferings. You see, Paul says that in verse 3. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, that's an amazing thing to say, isn't it? The hope of the glory of God sounds pretty amazing, and we can see why we'd rejoice in that, but to rejoice in suffering? Surely not, Paul. That's a bit mad, isn't it? You would be crazy to rejoice in suffering. Well, Paul says, of course, it's not the sufferings themselves that we like. The sufferings are hard and painful, and we really suffer through them. But next one, and again, Paul says God uses suffering in our lives. We rejoice in sufferings, not in themselves because we like them, but because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Yesterday, if you were at the men's breakfast, we did some, a man who was very, very, very poorly, but he was saying that he knew that God was in control, that God uses suffering in the life of his people. And that's true if we're Christian believers. It doesn't make the suffering easy always, still very painful. But God transforms suffering and uses it, in this case, to produce character and hope in us as we persevere and keep going. We even rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Thirdly and finally, next one, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Paul would say, well, the big thing is not just all the benefits that God gives us, it's not just being let off our sins. No, we rejoice in God himself, in who he is, in friendship with him. That's what it means to be reconciled to God. We're his friends, and we enjoy that relationship if we trust in Jesus. So our final slide sums up what we've said. Since we've been put right with God by trusting in Jesus, since we've been justified by faith, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God as we look forward to heaven. We even rejoice in our sufferings because we know that God uses them in our lives to produce character and hope. And we rejoice in God himself through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Well, I hope you'll take those handouts away with them at you and use them as a reminder of what we thought about today. Let's just be quiet for a moment if we can and perhaps look at the screen or at the handout and think about, well, is there one thing that we should remember from today? One thing we should be thankful to God for? One thing we could pray about in the light of this? And let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your great love and mercy and kindness, for your grace and forgiveness, for the wonderful saving work of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he died for us so that we might be forgiven. Thank you that he rose victorious over the grave. We thank you for the hope of your glory, for heaven, that you've transformed and used our sufferings. And we thank you for friendship with you. Help us to trust in Jesus, to know what it is to be forgiven and counted righteous. And help us to rejoice and enjoy these things, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.